This is a Dragon Blazer production, and I am the little boogeyman.
Coming down the aisle, it's the podcast tag team champions of the world,
the Rage and Blaze Show.
Welcome to another exciting episode of the Rage and Blaze Show. I'm Rage.
And I'm Blaze.
And I'm Janessa.
Dear Lord, she's back.
Cut the mic. Cut her mic.
Gosh,
cut her mic.
Darn it. Our show keeps getting hijacked by my daughter. So, anyhow, we have a lot to talk about before we get into the second part episode of SummerSlam 1994. And that is some big, big wrestling news, and that is the return of Brock Lesnar.
Oh.
And the return of the man, Becky Lynch, and there was a match at NXT TakeOver that was absolutely brutal and amazing, and that was Ilya Dragunov defeated Walter after his over, I think, 2-year reign as NXT UK champion. And that match was amazing. If you haven't seen it, go to Peacock. Watch that match. A big, big weekend for wrestling.
You forgot. I think that's all that happened. We also got the return of the best in the world!
Yeah, the man.
CM Punk.
The man.
CM sucks?
Don't listen to it. Cut her mic. Cut her mic.
CM sucks.
CM sucks.
Cut the mic.
CM sucks.
Here, I'm going to cut this mic. Best in the world.
He fucking sucks.
Wow.
No.
This whole podcast is just getting hijacked.
Yeah,
I guess I remember there was another guy that returned to wrestling after 7 years.
He chose to leave. He literally
just woke up one day and said, I think I'm going to get off the couch now.
He had an injury that the WWE would not let him take a break for. He left because of the handling of this injury. I've been looking into this.
And then he did not join any other wrestling promotions for 7 years.
No, he
for
went to UFC.
Recover? Oh my god.
He went to UFC.
And he got his ass kicked.
Yes, he did.
He was not the best in the world there, was he?
No, he's the best in the world in professional wrestling.
You gotta be doing your job to be the best in the world. But that's just a whole nother thing. The worst part was getting on Facebook and people actually comparing his return to Edge's return. You know, Edge, the guy that freaking was told he would never wrestle again.
Those are completely different scenarios.
I know, but people were comparing them.
It was a huge return. It was okay. People didn't think he was ever going to come back to wrestling again because of the situation.
But he wasn't hurt.
He was hurt at the time.
Like a minor hurt. He wasn't hurt.
He was upset with the doctors in WWE because they did not want to take him off the television because he had an injury. He told them that he had an injury, and the WWE had the doctors clear him anyways.
She does not like CM Punk.
I'm aware she doesn't like CM Punk. She's wrong.
He is actually one of her least favorite people to ever see on my television.
I consider him one of my favorite wrestlers of all time.
That is disgusting.
No. He's amazing.
So anyhow, definitely there is a lot of back and forth belief on CM Punk's legacy. But the reality is it was a good weekend or week.
2 weeks.
Good week. Why 2 weeks? It was like...
All that stuff happened last week.
No, but it happened...
This is 2 weeks later.
It happened like Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Okay, fair enough.
It was a weekend.
It was a great weekend.
It was a great weekend
last
for
weekend.
Wrestling. Yeah, last weekend. Because we're on a two-week schedule now. So,
but here's the thing. We'll talk about this. One, I actually loved Brock Lesnar's return. Even though I don't love Brock Lesnar. But I find the idea of Brock Lesnar feuding with Reigns with Paul Heyman and Reigns' corner very intriguing.
And SmackDown was really fun the next night, or the next week.
But with them kind of treating
Paul Heyman a little weird.
But I kind of hated Becky Lynch's return.
Okay, so let's talk about Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch got a huge pop. I mean, even it was huge. And
no, I love seeing
it was
her
actually
come back.
It was actually a bigger pop than CM Punk got, but it's not really fair to compare because I think there was like 50.
You're talking about
there was like
50 huge
some thousand at SummerSlam. I think there was only like 20,000, maybe less.
Much smaller venue.
Yeah, yeah. But I will say that was a loud, huge pop for Becky Lynch.
Don't get me wrong.
What happened afterwards, I know, has some people sour. But
they really.
But I have read why it happened the way it did.
Okay, I haven't heard that then. Because
so first things first, and let's just talk like we're a part of the business. We're not. Let's just pretend that we are, because this is all backstage news. So this is all speculation, rumor of what happened, or at least what insiders have claimed that happened. Becky Lynch was not supposed to return to SummerSlam. Due to CM Punk's return, they felt they had to do something, and Sasha Banks had backed out. Still don't know the details on what happened with Sasha Banks. Sasha Banks supposedly is not cleared to wrestle right now.
Why has COVID?
If she had COVID, though, it's like the world knows about COVID. Why not just tell us? But that's the weird thing about
WWE's
Sasha Banks.
WWE's been weird where they
They're not really announcing.
They don't really announce when
like
someone
Jeff Hardy
has
COVID.
They can't announce one's medical stuff.
Okay, well, regardless, it might have been COVID. They knew like 6 days before SummerSlam she couldn't perform. So they scrambled and got Becky Lynch. The story I heard is that they didn't have enough time for Becky Lynch to get there and work out an actual match.
So she never had any practice.
There was no practice. She was not prepared to actually wrestle.
Okay.
This is why Becky Lynch had a squash match, is because Becky Lynch was not physically or ready to. They were not ready to have that kind of a match.
In that situation, though.
So they treated it like a big surprise, and they're building a storyline off the surprise.
See, in that situation, though, and I guess if the storyline's good, but in that situation, though, I feel like she should have came out and maybe challenged Bianca Belair to a future match, because it really, I mean, that was kind of shitty what they did with Bianca Belair.
Well, they got a huge pop out of her coming out, and they got a huge pop out of saying they were going to wrestle, and they even got a huge pop that she won the title. It's actually the backlash afterwards that people online are like, that was bullshit, Bianca was done dirty. But if you watch the crowd, the crowd didn't treat it like she was done dirty. The crowd was like, holy shit, what just happened?
But
the crowd had the reaction they were looking for.
Yeah, but
that is the reason they did not have an extended match.
I do feel like Bianca Belair, because I think Bianca Belair is the EST of WWE. And she is a fantastic performer, and she deserved a much better match.
And I think she'll get her good match. But with Sasha Banks having to back out, that is why everything went down. They were literally just trying to scramble to put something together. So they knew the fans would be pissed that this WrestleMania rematch wasn't happening. So they wanted to give them something else. They asked her to come back sooner than she originally had planned on coming.
I just
felt like it kind of soured the return of Becky Lynch.
Well,
for me.
And they're also making her a heel, if you haven't noticed.
I didn't.
So that it fits with her persona that she sucker punched her and won the match the way she did. Because they are making her heel. Obviously, nobody knew that night.
No, she came back from it. But an injury.
But that is your...
Well, pregnancy is a little injury.
That is your backstage information on what had happened.
Okay.
That makes me feel a little better. It wasn't like they were trying to do Bianca dirty. They did it for a reason. There was a legitimate reason why it went down the way
it was. It was a last-minute decision just to give...
Yeah, and then Brock's return... I don't know. I haven't heard any backstage news on whether Brock was supposed to return or not, because he didn't even bother to shave. The dude was in, like...
full Viking mode.
Street gear and his hair, and then he also wasn't on SmackDown last week. So, not sure what the details with Brock is.
The details are Brock only comes to pay-per-views and big events.
But then Ilya Dragunov defeated Walter on the NXT TakeOver. If you did not watch NXT TakeOver, I don't care if you don't watch NXT, period, on a regular basis, go back and watch TakeOver. That is one of the best wrestling shows I've ever seen put on as a whole. That show was freaking fantastic. And Ilya Dragunov versus Walter is one of the best and most brutal matches I think I have ever watched in my life. Walter's chops look like somebody's going to have a heart attack. It is insane. You watched it, right?
Yeah, I watched that match.
That match was insane. So, anyhow, great weekend in wrestling, but let's go ahead.
Wait. One last thing. I'd like to talk about the tease of Daniel Bryan on Dynamite. Did you see that?
The what?
Okay, so on when CM Punk was talking on Dynamite, the fans started cheering, yes, yes,
yeah,
yes.
Yes. That's somebody else's shtick.
Yeah, that's somebody else's shtick. You'll have to wait a little bit longer for that. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, and that's the rumor is he's heading over there.
And there is rumors that he might be at All Out.
Well, he might be. We'll find out this Sunday. We'll be at the theater. We'll be watching.
Also, there's rumors that Bray Wyatt just signed with AEW.
Well,
you didn't hear that?
I've heard rumors, but those are... They're just rumors until it happens.
I said rumors. All right. So let's get started with SummerSlam 1994.
Let's do it. Okay, so the next match we have for SummerSlam 1994 is Bret Hart versus Owen Hart for the World Heavyweight Championship, or the WWF Heavyweight Championship. In a steel cage match. And we get a big, lengthy, kind of...
Promo
build up to this match. We also get interviews with family members. Stu Hart and his wife and British Bulldog and Jim the Anvil Neidhart. They're all there getting interviewed. So they definitely really built this match up. It's really a surprise this wasn't the main event. But obviously they're saving that for the Undertaker versus Undertaker match.
Yes. We also got a segment with Leslie Nielsen.
We did get it. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yep. And, which was, it was good, like normal. And then we got an interview with Bret Hart. And during the interview, he's telling everyone that, I'm not mad at Owen. I hate Jim the Anvil Neidhart, because I believe he is the one that put these seeds of jealousy and everything into Owen Hart. He's like, so I'm not mad at Owen. He's like, I'm just sorry. And his Canadian accent definitely came out when he said he felt sorry for him. I liked it. It was great. It was a good interview too.
Yeah, and the match itself was pretty amazing.
Really long.
It was a very lengthy match, and a lot of great moments. My wife would kill me if I don't mention the one moment that she found exciting, which was the fact that Bret was on the other side of the cage trying to escape, and Owen grabbed him by his hair and pulled him back into the cage by his hair. My wife thought that was... pretty impressive stuff.
Yeah, it was It was a lot of escape attempts. I mean, over and over again, you had Owen or Brett trying to go out the door, which, quite personally, I'm not a big fan of the escape from the door situation.
And luckily, this match did not end.
It did not end with a door.
But I completely agree. I've never agreed that the door should factor in to any cage match, Hell in a Cell. Well, Hell in a Cell, I guess you're not trying to escape.
No, it's not. That's not an escape.
But no, the door should never be a factor in an actual cage match. But unfortunately, it is.
And I didn't realize it was that far back either.
Yeah.
Like, I thought back in those days, you definitely had to climb over. For me, a cage match shouldn't be a pin. There shouldn't be submissions. You have to escape.
Let me ask you this. As many video games that you have played, wrestling video games, how many wrestling video games have you played where you are actually able to escape from the door in a cage match?
More recently, a lot. I mean, a lot of the newer ones definitely have that option.
Do they?
The old ones, maybe not so much, but yeah, because it's normally a mini game, just like climbing the cage. It's normally a mini game where you go to the cage and there's something like you pressing something, and it's a slow thing. You can't just easily go out. They still make it a little difficult. I'm not a fan of it. But yeah, it's there. It's been there for quite a few games.
Yeah, I wasn't sure, because as many times as I've played a wrestling video game, I don't remember ever trying to escape from the door. I didn't even know it was an option.
I know it has been on quite a few games. I can't tell you offhand which ones exactly has that option, but I know it's definitely an option in a lot of games. But yeah, we got a lot of, and they tried to climb, they tried to, I think they went for that door at least 4 or 5 times. I mean, it was like one would do it, then the other would try to do it. I was kind of surprised by that. I thought this match was going to be more of a, like, brutal. I didn't think Owen would try to win as quickly as he tried. Like, Owen tried to escape, I think, first and quick. I guess the story they were trying to tell is, like, I'm better than you, I can win this title and take it from you. And it wasn't as much of a, I thought it was going to be more of a blood feud, where he was just going to try to attack and just throw him up against the cage a lot and use the cage as a weapon. And it wasn't like that. But there was a lot of escape attempts, each one of them, and there was a lot. And like your wife mentioned, that hair pull, oh, that looked painful. There was a point where Owen got Brett off the cage, and he fell, and I think it was a mistake, and he fell and landed right in his twig and berries, and ow. Just, I think both of us were like, oh, that looks painful. And normally you see that happen, and it happened earlier with, I think, Brett actually being pulled down off the corner into the ropes. But this one looked worse, because you could tell it didn't look like it was staged. It looked like it legit, he just lost his footing and landed right into the ropes. It was,
Yeah, so like I said, this match was really fun. It was exciting. There was a lot of great wrestling, a lot of great, tricks, falls. And
a lot of throwing off the top of the cage. Not like,
right.
Like they didn't go to the top. Like they were trying to go over, and then they got pulled over and thrown off.
Yeah, and even in the end of the match, the way Owen kind of got caught in the cage to, and couldn't escape.
Yeah, the ending was really cool. He was, it was kind of like a tree of woe on the cage.
Yeah.
He got caught, fell down, and he was just one leg dangling in between the bars.
Right.
And then Brett was able to just jump off and get the win. So, this was a very good match. It was a long match, too. I think this match... do you have the time? Do you have the length of the match?
No, I can look it up, but I do not.
It was probably at least 45 minutes, maybe close to an hour. But there was a long time before that, too. I mean, like we mentioned earlier, Jerry the King Lawler and Vince McMahon was talking to the Hart family, and it was crazy. Jerry just starts yelling at Stu. He's like, "You're the one that did this. You're the one that raised them and ruined Bret Hart."
32 and a half minutes, but
really, it was only 32 and a half minutes.
If you add everything that happened before the match and everything that happened after the match, which we haven't even got into yet. You definitely can see where you thought it was like more 45 to an hour.
It felt like a long
match. Because
they
had a big build up to it, interviews, and I'm sure that was to tear the, you know, pick or build the cage up. And then, of course, after the match, Jim the Anvil Neidhart attacked British Bulldog in the stand.
And his wife.
And his wife went over the cage, too. Not sure if that was supposed to happen.
I feel like it was. I bet the wife was like, "I want to take a tumble. I want to take a..."
Maybe.
I mean, and then, if I was married to a wrestler, I think I would want that. Like, yeah, I'll do it. Let's do this. This would be fun. Knock me over.
But anyhow, they started attacking Bret, and they got Bret back into the cage, and they were fighting off everybody so they could beat up Bret. So there was a lot that went on before and after the match that made this match seem longer than I think it really was.
Yeah, there was like a rumble because Bret, their brothers and sisters, or brothers, went in too.
Yep.
Yeah, there was like a bunch of hearts inside that ring. Helping Bret, helping Owen, like big heart civil war going on there.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it was definitely a really exciting match. I would give it 5 out of 5 twigs and berries. How about that?
Twigs and berries. Yeah, I like this match. It was a lot of fun. I don't know if that's quite in the 5 range for me. I'm thinking more along the 4.5 Tree of Woes.
There you go.
So yeah, it was a decent match. It was a long, well, I guess it was not as long as I thought. Yeah, and yeah, unfortunately, it looks like we're only going to have 2 matches to talk about in this show.
Which is why we have definitely stretched this out. Trying to add some time to this podcast. When we cut off part 1, we didn't realize there was only 2 matches left.
Yeah.
We tried it. But the thing is they took so much time up for this match, it makes sense why. Because we always try to choose halfway through the show. But when you only have 2 matches, then you're only going to talk about 2 matches. So we'll just give a little bit more detail.
Well, then you also have, and I believe there was another segment after with Leslie Nielsen.
We haven't seen that yet, have we? I thought that was just a recap of what's been going on.
No, they had the segment where Leslie and I can't remember his chief's name from Naked Gun. They were looking for Undertaker, and then a silhouette of Undertaker showed up in the entranceway. And they didn't see it, and they just turned around and was like, "Oh, let's go this way."
All right, let's go ahead and get to what I believe the main event is. Okay, so on to the main event of the night. It is Million Dollar Man's Undertaker versus Paul Bearer's Undertaker. And I don't know what to say about this match except for the crowd was so quiet. You could hear every spring in the ring as they were moving and everything. And I don't know if they were quiet because they were just bored or if they were quiet because I don't know why they were so quiet. They wasn't even booing the match.
It's like when you go on a date and your date is just constantly looking at their phone because they are so not into you. That's what this crowd was. They were not into them at all.
This was, yeah, it was one of the coldest crowds because the weird thing is this same crowd went on fire for the Owen Hart and Bret Hart match.
Yeah.
I mean, they were into that for the whole 30 minutes.
Well, imagine going and getting that match and then this being your main event.
Yeah, it was weak. It was very weak. It was very slow.
So many weird botched moves.
It was just odd. It was one of the worst matches I think I've ever seen. And this is a legend. We're talking about The Undertaker. And this match just was horrible.
Unfortunately, he was facing someone who has the other Undertaker ever been.
I don't know how much he had, how much experience he had before this, but Brian Lee, who I believe was the other Undertaker, had a career in wrestling after this match, but. Yeah, I don't know, like, how much experience he had before this match. I'm looking it up now, and it says that he debuted in 1988. This match was 1994, so no, he was a should have been a competent wrestler.
Well, I don't know if competence definitely not the word I would use. He was, I don't know, I can't even put it all on him, because I don't think either one of them looked great in this match. Probably the best thing that happened in this match was, it was kind of cool when he was picking up the real Undertaker, and then the Undertaker manages to overpower him and then drops him down for a tombstone, when he reverses that tombstone. That was probably the coolest thing that happened in the match, but it was just, oh my gosh. There's a point where Undertaker tries to throw him over the ropes with a choke slam, and just so weak. And then there was a point where I think it was the real Undertaker, the other Undertaker ducks. This is a hard match to call, by the way.
Yeah.
The
Undertaker just clothesline the Undertaker. The Undertaker just suplex the Undertaker.
But he goes over the ropes, and it's just so obvious. Like, it doesn't flow at all. It was just, this match was weak. It was bad. And then the beginning, well, first off, you have Million Dollar Man announcing his Undertaker. And I did like the green mist, because it's Million Dollar Man's Undertaker, so the mist was green. Did you notice that? The light and the mist was green. And then you get Paul Bearer come out, and he brings out an urn. The lights go off, and he opens the urn, and there's a light inside.
Mm-hmm.
Why is there a light inside?
I don't know.
We don't know. There's just a light inside. And the thing is Undertaker comes out from the entrance, so was that just like the bat symbol? The Undertaker symbol? Like, he's got to shine it up in the air so the Undertaker knows it's time for justice.
Yeah, I don't have an explanation for you. I just know this match was just, it was just boring, honestly, is the best way I can describe it. It just wasn't a good match. It was very slow, and I know you're trying to portray two slow Undertakers, but it just didn't work.
Yeah, and it was bad.
It was made it more awkward that the fans didn't react at all.
Because they saw how bad it was.
But I think they were like that from the beginning.
Maybe. Yes. This whole storyline was weird. The match was weird. The storyline was weird. It was just a weird match.
Very weird. So, I gave this match one Tombstone Piledriver, and I did that because that's what it took to end this match.
Actually, it took three.
Well, okay, fair enough. I gave it a one.
I'm giving this one under Faker.
Because that's all there needs to be?
Yeah, I hope there's no other under Fakers, just one under Faker.
So anyhow.
It was rough. It was a rough match.
So after the match, we get more urn flashlighting. And then we get a little bit of a Leslie Nielsen segment where they close the case and they show him holding a closed case. Which actually, our fans need to know this. That was the actual first appearance of the Money in the Bank briefcase.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, of course. I mean, they didn't put Money in the Bank written on the side, but it's the same briefcase they use
to this day. Sure, they haven't updated that at all.
No, it's the exact same case. It's just painted different throughout the years. A little bit of history there.
So what you're saying is Leslie Nielsen is the first Money in the Bank winner.
Absolutely. But he never cashed it in.
Surely you can't be serious.
My name's not Shirley.
That is not how it goes. Anyways.
Okay. So, now that we have finished this, let's go ahead and talk about our best and worst.
Favorite match of the night!
Okay, so best match of the night is a no-brainer, which I think both these segments are kind of a no-brainer.
Yeah, both of them.
And that is Bret Hart versus Owen Hart outshined everything in this show. So by far, best match of the night, bar none.
Yeah, the best match of the night was definitely the true main event of the night in my heart, in Bret Hart. It's the true main event. It was the best match by far. Bret Hart versus Owen Hart. Best match of the night.
Definitely.
There's no arguing. Neither one of us are going to argue about either of these picks, I think.
I don't think so either.
All right.
Worst match of the night.
Worst match of the night, surprise, surprise, was The Undertaker versus The Undertaker. This was just not a good idea. I'll take that back. It was a good idea. It was a kind of a cool storyline. The execution in the match was just by far horrible. Just horrible. But I gotta give them credit. It was a unique and cool storyline, which was basically built around the fact that The Undertaker was injured.
Right.
I mean, they still kept this character engaged in the show because they knew how hot the character was. But unfortunately, the real man behind the character had to take time off for surgery. So, I gotta give them credit because they still wanted to keep the people involved with Undertaker. It's just the match they receive at the end of the storyline, unfortunately, just did not work out. I have actually read that the plan was to keep this storyline going after SummerSlam, but the match was so bad they ended up ending the storyline right then and there. Which explains why The Undertaker was not in the casket when Leslie Nielsen looked in the casket at the end of the show. Because that was supposed to continue, and they never did anything else with this story afterwards, which was a good thing because the match was so poorly received.
It was indeed.
I mean, Mr. McMahon even had to mention during the match how quiet the crowd was, and said it's because they were stunned. No, it wasn't, McMahon. It was because they were bored out of their mind and thought this match was atrocious. So, definitely worst match of the night. Don't think I'm going to get an argument from you.
No, no, it's definitely the worst match of the night. There's no argument.
Okay.
SummerSlam rankings.
Okay, let's go ahead and rank these. And outside of one major amazing main event, I thought this was kind of one of the lesser SummerSlams. I didn't think it was had nearly as many good matches. Had some decent to okay matches, but outside of that cage match, this was kind of a weak one. So I'm going to go ahead and stick with number 5 at my top, number 6 at my number 2, number 4 at number 3. Think I'm going to keep number 3 at number 4. I'm going to slide this in at number 5, and then number 6 at 2, and then my last one would be SummerSlam 1.
All right, yeah, kind of agree. Really, there's one great match in this, and that's about the rest of it. It's kind of weak. I want to put it higher because I love Leslie Nielsen, but even those segments weren't as good as they could have been or as I know he can do. So I'm going to go with my worst being number 7 being 1.
Wait.
I start bottom. And then we go up.
Oh, 7. So you're putting this as your worst?
No, no, no. I'm putting the first SummerSlam as 7.
Okay.
Second SummerSlam as 6. Then I think I'm going to just put this right up SummerSlam 7 at in 5th place. Then I have SummerSlam 4 at 4th place. SummerSlam 3 at 3rd place, SummerSlam 6 at 2nd place, and SummerSlam 5 at 1st.
Okay.
So.
All right, well, let's go ahead and plug the pluggables.
Well, okay. You can find me on Dragon Blazer Production on the Facebook, the Instagram, the YouTube. You can also find me on Twitter at Dragon Blazer Pro. And you can plug yours.
All right. The Rage and Blaze Show on Facebook, at The Rage and Blaze Show on Instagram, and at Ricky Rayberg on Twitter. And that's going to do it for The Rage and Blaze Show. I'm Rage.
And I'm Blaze.
And good night from Rage's Pit.